Would you turn with me, please, to the next section of 1 Corinthians, which is what we're working through at the moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read the first 9 verses. As I said to the little kids earlier on, this is about growing up. And there's some very, very significant stuff that Paul puts his finger on in the relationship that we have with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for it. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? When one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. There's a strong encouragement and strong focus on growth in that, isn't there? And we are used to seeing growth. You know, when a child is still in its mother's womb, we take particular care and pay attention to measuring aspects of their development. We want to know that this baby is growing, because growing means healthy. And when that baby is born and they're on the outside, we can measure more things. We can measure their cognitive development. We can measure their speech development, their ability to learn new things and walk and do things for themselves and pick up a spoon and feed themselves. And these are all good things that we get excited about. We get excited about them going to the toilet for the first time, because that's healthy, right? You know, growth is a normal part of this world. It's a normal part of being a healthy person. And so Paul, he writes to these Christians in Corinth with a bit of a warning. And he says, I see some bad signs here. You're not growing. There's something that's not happening here. That means you are not healthy, because growth is a sign of health. He says to them, brothers and sisters, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants. You've ticked the box. You've become a child of God. But your growth is stunted. You haven't even progressed onto solid foods yet. What's going on? You should be doing this by now. You should be. Not as a way of saying you've got to knuckle under and do and follow the rules. It's a way of saying these are the indicators that there's health in here. You should be, because healthy people do. We measure and test all kinds of things to know that our babies are healthy. The same happens when a child is born, and God also looks for growth. He looks for growth in you because you're his child. He knows what he's looking for in you because he's created you and he designed you to grow physically, to grow emotionally, and to grow spiritually. It's a pattern that he incorporated in all of creation right from the very beginning. When he created life on this planet, he designed it to multiply and grow. All of the vegetation, all of the animals, they are all designed to multiply and to grow. And then when he created humanity and placed us, humanity in the garden, it was with the instruction to multiply and fill the earth. He gave humanity the distinct purpose that reflects his image in the world. To take care of the garden, to work it and make it productive. The sign that creation is healthy is that it's productive and growing. It's what God's looking for. The sign that humanity is healthy is the same. We grow and work to produce a harvest by making the world a healthier place. But when sin entered our hearts, we became selfish and lazy. We started looking for shortcuts. We look for a harvest without having to put the effort in. We steal, we cheat, we fight the world around us when we were given responsibility to care for it. We scramble around for any means possible to get ahead of the rest of the people around us, to build status for ourselves so that we're at the top, right at the very top of the food chain. And then everything and everyone can serve us. That's what happens when we continue to listen to the lie that Satan told to Adam and Eve. That lie that said, God's holding out on you and you can actually replace him. You can be God. That's not the way things were created to be. They were created to grow, and we were created to work them and make them productive. We are created to be part of what he's doing in this world. But the thing is that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church saying, you're still worldly. There's something broken here in you. Something hasn't changed. For since there's jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? He's setting up a dynamic. There's a way that the world functions, but there's a way that God's kingdom functions, and they don't look the same. Because we were created to grow. But giving into sin stops that process. See, the pattern of sin, it leads to decay. Have you ever noticed that in the world? When things are left to just sit, they rot, they break down. Have you seen pictures of the cities that have been abandoned? And even if people weren't involved, they decay. They break down. We do the same thing. From the day we're born, we are continually, like we grow. Oh, nope, no, we're going backwards. We're decaying. Some of us faster than others. But decay is a pattern in the world that has come from something being broken. It's the pattern of sin. And where there is sin, there is death and decay. And so we think to ourselves, maybe the answer is we can't fight this pattern. We can't fight against the whole movement of decay in the world. So what about if we just hold firm? What about if we just don't go backwards? Is that good enough? What about if we just stay the same? We get saved, and then if I don't move, if I don't do anything, I just stay the same, I'm still good. But stagnant water is putrid water, isn't it? Have you ever come across something like that? when the water is stagnant, the life goes out of the water and everything that's in it dies. And it rots and it decays, because the pattern of this world is decay and death. If we try to say the same, that's what's going to happen to us, because stagnation is growth denied. It's still actually a rebellion against the pattern that God has built into us. We cannot be satisfied with staying the same. Things have to change. We have to grow. Otherwise, we're rebelling against what God's put in place. And that's sinful. Anything that denies God's authority is sinful. It's rebellion. It's I can be God, not Him. What Paul's putting his finger on here is a pattern of growth that's been derailed in the Corinthian church. And it's been derailed by a couple of things. The first thing is a culture of pursuit. The Corinthians, they, as we've looked at in previous weeks, they were big on pursuing super apostles, people who, I'm going to follow that one, or I'm going to follow that one, or I'm going to follow that one. Just like us, we have our own people that we want to follow, our own influences and people who's, you know, super preachers and that sort of thing. We follow people. It's part of who we are. It's how we're designed, which is why we've got to be so careful about who we follow. They were following people, because that's what their culture had taught them was the way to succeed. Their whole culture was built around, you build status for yourself by following the most important person. You associate yourself with them and you get caught up in their wake. And you get dragged along with them. You see, it's not easy to pull ourselves away from everything that we've known as normal, is it? Because it involves completely rewriting our worldview, completely rewriting everything that we believe. And that's what Paul's talking about. You guys in Corinthians, you have always thought this was the way to be good, but it's not. A few weeks ago, we looked at some of the verses leading up to this passage that we're in now, and we talked about the idea that wisdom had been turned upside down. Everything that they thought was wisdom was actually a reversal of God's wisdom. And when Jesus came, part of what he did was to turn things the right way up. And that's why he headbutted so much with Pharisees. They are teaching one thing that was man-made, and he's going, you want a what now? That's just crazy. You want me to not heal on the Sabbath because of this law? You want me to walk past this person who's suffering? That's not God's heart. That's not wisdom. That's upside down. Everything that the people in the Corinthian church had been taught about what is good and right and worth pursuing had come from a world that was upside down. And it's the same for us. The culture that they'd been raised in was the opposite to the culture of God's kingdom. And they were all about the pursuit of status. But Jesus left his place at the Father's side to be born as a baby and placed in an animal feed trough. They were all about linking themselves up with the right people, but Jesus was continually criticized for hanging around with the wrong people. He gravitated towards the sinners and the tax collectors and the people with social diseases like leprosy. They were all about the individual beliefs and argued with each other about who was right, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, the upside down culture of the world was turned the right way up when Jesus came. But when we've been raised in the waters of the world and we've learned to swim in a particular way so that we keep our heads above water, it's hard for us to learn to swim differently, because first it feels like we're going to drown. We need to hear what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church today, because we are just like them. We've learned to swim in a world, and it looks like, for the most part, it's working. But further down the track, we're going to realize that the swimming, the way we've learned to do it, will not keep us afloat. Standing at the top of the mountain will not keep our heads above the rising floodwaters that are coming. We learned that through Noah's Ark. The other thing that he puts his finger on is that they've been distracted off growing. Satan knows what he's doing, and he's working against you. He's lying to you about what's going on in this world and making it look like everything's okay, you're going in the right direction, and what you'll do will get you through in the end. But let me ask you, why do you feel so busy and stressed? Why do you feel so constantly tired all the time? Why are you so pushed for time? It's because we live in a time when everything around us is shouting at us that this is the way to live. And there are so many voices crying out, come this way, come that way with me. Oh, I know the truth, come this way. Even the technology that was sold to us as a promise that we will get our lives back, it'll do stuff for us and release us to do the things we want to do, rubbish. We are more a slave to technology today than we have ever been. And the way that it uses up our time numbs us and puts us in a malaise where we're just apathetic about everything. And the purpose of all of this is to distract us away from the pattern of growth that God created us for. It seems to be working, because it's denying the truth about who we are. We are His children, created to grow, expected to grow, and to tend and care for the world around us so that it grows and is productive. You see, when we became Christians, we became a new creation. We are no longer humans in the worldly sense. Something has changed in here. We switch kingdoms. We become new creations, and so that we regain that pattern of growth. That's why Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, said, no, you've got to be born again. And when you're born again, that's the beginning of growth, is it not? It's not the end point, it's the starting point. And it means that it no longer makes sense for us to do things the way we used to. It no longer makes sense for us to do things the way the world does them. That's why we're supposed to be different. Because we are different. We might look the same for now. We might live in the same pond for now. But something has changed in here that has made us a new creation. And that requires us to live differently. It doesn't make sense to keep doing things the old way. And see, verses 5 to 7... Paul talks about what, after all, is Apollos. Isn't that an interesting way to phrase it? Because Apollos is a person. Shouldn't it be, who is Apollos? Not what? Shouldn't it be, I mean, Paul's writing this and he says, what is Paul? Shouldn't it be, who is Paul? He's being very deliberate here. because his focus, he's trying to redirect them away from, no, this is not about individual human status. It's not about who you are. It's about the role that you have been given in the process of growing. What is that role? The Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God's been the one that's been making it grow. I love doing gardening, and there are some plants that I walk around the garden, and I've put all kinds of effort into it. I've done everything by the book. I've researched it. I know that I've planted it in the right soil, the right place. I've fertilized it. I've watered it. And the jolly thing is sitting there staring at me dead. And then there are other plants that just, I didn't even remember that they were there until they stick their heads up above everything else, and lo and behold, I've got a towering tree over everything in the garden. I've had nothing to do with the growth. I planted it. I watered it. I cared for it. God grew it because he is the one who brings life. We are part of a new creation already. It's not about who we are and how important we feel. We have a task to perform. See, that's the difference between being a laborer in the garden and being the creator. God's the creator. We're the ones that have been planted in the garden to nurture and grow things. That means that all of the individual pursuits that the Corinthian church was going on about, they don't bring the growth. Everything that we chase after, thinking this is the way to success, they don't bring growth. They're all designed to get our minds off growth, distracting us with other things. Because if we're distracted, we stagnate, and if we stagnate, we die. We are meant to grow, and we are meant to bring growth in others. So the point of that is that because we are laborers and not the creator, it kind of changes the pressure on us too, doesn't it? It changes the pressure on us to get it absolutely right. Sometimes when we're in a position where we think, oh, I really should share my faith with this person, but I'm so scared that I'm going to mess it up, and then they'll never become a Christian because I'll turn them against it. No. Plant the seed. That's your role. Plant the seed. God will grow it. God will do the rest. And he will bring along the next person to have the next task. All right, I want you guys to understand that God has given you authority to speak up about the gospel. And with that authority is the knowledge that, no, you're only part of the process. It doesn't all hinge on you. You are not God. You are not going to save them. He does. And it gives us the reminder that we need to actually rethink about how we're spending our time, doesn't it? What are we spending our lives on? Are they things that matter because they bring growth? Do they grow us spiritually? And growth is all about becoming like Jesus, because Jesus is the picture of the perfect man. He is the revelation of God from heaven combined with humanity at its peak. And so we look to him to go, no, that's what I'm meant to be growing into. Any pursuits that we're chasing that don't get us there? The one who plants and the one who waters only have one part of the process. You only have one purpose. And there will be rewards for each of them according to what they've done. But here's the thing. Do you understand what a huge privilege and honour it is for God to say, you know, I could do this all on my own. I don't actually need you, but I want relationship with you. So I want you to join me in this. I used to love it when my kids were only this big and we'd go down to Bunnings and they'd ride around on the front of the trolley and we'd buy punnets of seedlings and then we'd go back and we'd plant them and sometimes they grew, sometimes they didn't. That wasn't what it was about. It was about the relationship that we had. And that's why God includes us in what he's doing. He wants us to have relationship with him. He wants us to be co-workers with him. And so this is not something that we're meant to do alone. This is not a self-help program. It's not an improvement program where, all right, we follow these steps and we know we end up being a better human being, because it's done through relationship. And the way that God chooses to work in the world is through other people, which means we have to have a relationship with each other as part of having relationship with him. That means that each of us has a responsibility towards contributing to the growth of the people around us. And all of that is empowered by God's grace. We step out and plant the seed. We step out and do the task that we've been given to do. And it's an act of faith because we know that we do it with absolutely no control over whether that seed's going to grow. But we trust God to do his part. That's faith. It's really releasing to have a clear understanding of the boundaries of where I finish and God starts. To know that what my constraints are, what my limitations are, and that God is just so much bigger than all of that. That is so releasing and empowering. But it also means that what we do matters, not to build status, it matters because it's what God's doing. And there's nothing more important in this world than the most important one and what he is doing. You want to link yourself up with the right kind of person? You want to attach yourself to the one who knows the answers, who knows the truth, who is going to get you the right to the end of this game that we're in the world? Attach yourself to Jesus. That's Paul's point. Don't attach yourself to Apollos or Paul or anyone else. Attach yourself to Jesus and follow him. I want to finish with this verse from Hebrews. Since we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That's what it's about. That is the Christian walk. It's not about us being better people than everyone else. It's not about us following rules that lead to success. It is about us knowing who we are, what our limitations are, what our part in the process is, and encouraging each other to do the same. Would you pray with me? Father, as we go into this week, there's lots of things that are going to happen. There's going to be opportunities that you're going to bring to us, things that you want us to do. And so we pray that our hearts and minds would be open enough to see those things and to be bold enough, faithful enough to step through and to do the bit that you're asking from us, trusting that you will do the rest because it's what you are doing in the world anyway. Help us to become faithful followers of your Son Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.